Good morning. You are listening to Becoming a Millionaire God's Way. We were just talking about retirement accounts. We were talking about Roth IRAs or TSAs, which stands for tax sheltered annuities. These are things that you need to look at. Life insurance is absolutely wonderful. If you had a $500,000 life insurance policy and you died tomorrow, your family could pay off the home and they would have a little bit of money left over to go on a vacation and grieve over you. Praise the Lord. And so these are things that we really need to have in consideration. You need to check in with your accountant, your financial planner, your investment guy or gal that you deal with, and they can give you more information, as it were, along the lines of some of these things. Now, I want to pick up today and I want to talk about the 16 things that you need to do before you die. I was going to turn this into a handout, but it was going to be a big handout and I decided against that. So I'm going to give these items to you. So the 16 things that you need to do before you die. I want to help you to organize, get a few notes, get yourself together. Now, also, I want to mention that the day not Dave Ramsey, the 21 steps for building wealth that I gave you at the beginning of this class, that was not just a handout so that you could have and look at it and say, praise the Lord, Pastor Billy Joe gave us a handout, glory to God. No, it is to actually endeavor to at some point to start doing the 16 things or at least 8 of the 16. For an example, it talks about in order to increase money and reduce expenditures, if you happen to operate with credit cards, then find credit cards that have lower interest rates. Dave Ramsey would say, get rid of those credit cards, cut them up, and don't deal with any credit whatsoever. Strictly go cash. All right. So on and on and on. Now, 1 Timothy chapter number 4. I want you to go there. Let me give you 2 verses or 3 verses, and then we'll talk a little bit about the 16 things you need to do before you die. Now, you may not be able to do all 16 of them tomorrow, but at least we'll give you the list, and you can at least endeavor to walk some of this out. 1 Timothy 4, verse number 14. Here's what it says. Do not neglect the gift which is inside of you. Now, he's writing to preachers and ministers and these guys that are overseeing the church. But I think it's applicable to those of you that are walking around here at the Rock Church. Some of the most gifted, some of the most intelligent, some of the most talented people I've ever laid my eyes on.
Amen.
Can I get an amen from everybody on that one? All right, then. And so you should not neglect the gift that you have inside of you. So there are things that you have inside of you, things that you are capable of doing, things over the years that you might even minimize because it takes somebody in your life encouraging you, empowering you, talking to you, sending you an email every now and again saying, Charlene and Rod, y'all are good and everything is going to be all right in the morning. And the rib, whether it's the rib joint, the cosmetic line, whatever, y'all gonna be all right. Praise the Lord, glory to God. Amen. And then you can walk away from the email and go, somebody really believes in us. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So there's so many of these kind of things that you need to understand. So I want to encourage you this morning. Don't you neglect the gift that you have inside of you.
Yes.
Amen. 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 And so the other part of that is that you cannot afford to date someone if you're single. You cannot afford to date someone who is going to neglect the gift.
Amen.
Come on, amen. And I don't mean somebody that'll punch you around and all of that, because if somebody's punching you around, you automatically know you got to get out of that. You can't stay in that. But I'm saying that somebody might just ignore who you are and who you were created to be. They may fail to acknowledge the gift that you have inside of you, and you have to minimize and you have to shrink back because, you know, somehow they're going to feel bad and lonely, because if you shine, then somehow it's going to minimize who they are. You need to be in a relationship with somebody that you can shine together. Hallelujah.
Yeah, man.
Can I get an amen to that? Now, I'm primarily talking to the single folk, because the married folk, y'all are already together, so ain't no changing. All right, partners. So praise the Lord. But he said, don't you neglect the gift which is in you, that special inward endowment, which was directly imparted to you by the Holy Spirit by prophetic utterance when the elders laid their hands upon you at your ordination. He goes on to say, practice and cultivate and meditate upon these duties. Throw yourself wholly into them as your ministry. And again, in this context, we're not just talking about ministry. We're talking about your job, your business, everything that you do on an everyday business. Throw yourself wholly into that and watch God bless you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Throw yourself wholly into your ministry so that your progress may be evident to everybody. And I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. So that your progress may be evident to everybody. Everybody needs to know that you are blessed by God and highly favored. Amen.
Amen.
Can I get an amen? And that's why, again, all that you do, your response should be, hey, somebody said, and somebody looked at me last week, they said, oh, Pastor, watch, you look like you're getting younger. You look like Billy Joel's twin. La, 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 la. I said, to God be the glory. Hallelujah. So we want to be sure that no matter what happens, no matter what comes your way, no matter what levels of increase and financial provision you break into, you should always remember to give God all of the glory. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
All right. So God should get all the glory because he wants your progress to be evident and to be seen by everybody.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Now, somebody tell me, why is it essential for God that, or to God, that everybody see your progress? Why is that so essential? Just so I want to make sure that you know, because I make all these little statements and people say, amen and amen, Brother Watts. Go here, Brother Watts. Get down, Brother Watts. And then I find out later they had no understanding of what I was saying. Go ahead, Monica. What were you going to say? Because that's it right there. That's the bottom line. Because God wants to get all of the glory out of your life. And here's what the Bible says. Let your light so shine where? At home in the secret? No. Before who?
Amen.
Before men, that they might see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So I have scripture to prove that God wants you to shine. He wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to be the head and not the
tail.
And not somebody's tail. Come on now. Amen. And so these things are important because God wants the world to see exactly what he's doing in your life, how he's doing it, and the levels that you've gone from. Do you know, 20 years ago, you were under the barrel and the barrel was on top of you.
Yeah. Amen.
And now you own the barrel company. Glory to God. All right. So that's God's will for your life. That's God's purpose for your life. And you have to embrace that. And you have to become comfortable embracing that.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Come on now. Amen.
Amen.
You just have to. Well, you know, Brother Watts, I've been down for a long time. Well, it's time to get up. Amen. Glory to God. Now, Matthew chapter 5, look at verse number 13. I was just quoting it, but let me go over and read it for you. Matthew chapter 5, look at verse number 13. You are the world's seasoning to make it tolerable. If you lose your flavor, what will happen to the world? And you yourselves will be thrown out and trampled upon underfoot as worthless. You are the world's light, a city on a hill, glowing in the night for all to see.
Yes.
That's it right there. Glowing in the night for all to see, for everybody to see. And so we understand that as believers, we want everybody as a believer to see that the believer's light. Yes. Come on now. Amen. Yes. But also as an overcomer, that we want the world to see the overcomer's light. As a business person successful in business, we want them to see the successful business person's light. Amen.
Yes.
As an investor, we want them to see the successful investor's light.
Yes.
So God wants your light to shine for all the world to see. And then as Monica said, so that he can what? Get all of the glory.
Amen.
Because you might testify and say, I thank the Lord for being here. I thank the Lord for my life, health, and strength. I thank the Lord who's the head of my life. I was once broke, but now I'm found. I was once under, but now I'm over. Glory to God. And so you have to get comfortable with that. That's why occasionally on Sundays we might tell you, everybody say the word rich. Remember the Lord your God, for it's he that gives you the power to become rich. And sometimes you just got to stand in the mirror and say rich. You know, as you're getting ready for work in the morning, as you are swooping your hair over, you need to say rich.
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
Right. Amen. You'd be surprised. I deal with a lot of people that are very comfortable with being saved and being Christian, but they're not very comfortable being rich.
Amen.
Right? Or having an abundant supply, or being able to write a $5,000 check out. Somebody said that 70% of the American population is not ready. 80% are not ready for retirement. 70% of the American population could not write a check for $5,000 to save their life. Okay, so that's a good goal, to have $5,000 just sitting in the bank, saved, $10,000, $20,000 or whatever. There is some assurance and insurance in doing that. You are the world's light, a city on a hill, glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light. In other words, don't you hide what God is doing in your life. Now, you don't have to advertise it. You don't have to brag about it. You don't have to bling bling so that everybody can see the bling bling. You know, I have found that most people that are rich, you would never know that they are rich. Amen. They said that Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart, would come into the local area in Tulsa area, and he'd pull in a red pickup truck, a plaid shirt, some blue jeans and suspenders, and you never knew that one of the wealthiest men in the entire world just walked into the building.
Amen.
Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
So, anyway, praise the Lord. Don't get trapped and caught by that. Let your light shine. Let it shine for all. Let it shine for all. Okay, let it shine for all, it says. This is the Living Bible. Let your good deeds glow for all to see. So we want your good deeds to glow, the good things that you do, organizations that you sow money into, things that you give back to, backpacks that you might buy, turkeys that you might give away at Thanksgiving time. We give free Starbucks, 500 or so, 400 Starbucks, $5 Starbucks cards away Thanksgiving morning. 5 locations. Why? Because we want our good deeds to glow for everybody to see. And so somebody asked me, they said, well, Brother Watts, I don't understand why you're giving away $5 cards on the south side of the city to people that can obviously afford to buy a drink. Well, it wasn't a matter of whether or not they could afford it or not. We were letting our light shine, glory to God. And I'll go to the north side of the city, and you can quote me on this, and I'll give away all of the Starbucks I can when they open up a Starbucks on the north side.
Amen.
Right now, I'm going where the Starbucks are located. Come on now.
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And there was one Starbucks little kiosk kind of a thing in a grocery store that headed north, but they closed down, or else we would have gone there and bought cards, and we would have stood in there and we would have given out cards as well. But the whole goal is not to give away anything to people that can obviously afford it. It's to allow our light to glow and our light to shine.
Amen.
Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
So in other words, because otherwise you would be discriminating.
Amen.
And being a respecter of persons if you just went and gave to poor people.
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Oh, I can't get any enthusiasm this morning. All right, then. So you need to keep these kinds of things in mind. And besides that, the answer to 1,001 questions is to be led. We are led to go by God where we go. We are not dictated to by other people's opinions of what they think we ought to be doing.
Amen.
Now, if they give us a check for $100,000 and say, Brother Watts, go stand on the street corner and give it away, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go stand on the street corner according to their instructions, and I'm going to give it away. But they're going to have to give me the $100,000 first.
Amen.
Can I get a praise the Lord to that? All right. So you can't ever be moved by public opinion and by what other people think you ought to be doing. You have to be moved by the will of God where your life is concerned. That's why I was talking to you about greed, and I was talking to you about being covetous, greedy for money, hungry for money, willing to do anything to get money, because in the process of that, all of that, God wants to be first in our lives, and he wants you to always remember him. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you the power to become rich, and he doesn't want to be forgotten about while you're making money and doing all of the things that you've been blessed to do. God wants you to remember him. Can I get one more amen there? All right. Let your so that your good deeds can glow for all to see, so that they will praise your heavenly Father. All right. God wants glory out of my life, your life, and your success. Right as in your notes, you've heard me say this before. Your success is good for God. Right? It's good for God. It's good for God when you're living good, driving good, got plenty to give and plenty to sow and all of that. It's good for God, because people then will ask you, what happened? How, Tommy, why are you able to do the things that you're doing? Pastor wanted to get another vehicle for the missionary down in Jamaica, and you stood up and you wrote a check for $35,000 and paid for the entire vehicle. How were you able to do that? And you can start, and you say, oh, to God be the glory. I once was down, but now I'm up. Glory to God. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
I mean, how many of you would love to write a check for $35,000 and bless some missionaries? And all right, I would encourage you, write your check for $5 first.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Don't sit around waiting for the $35,000. Just start right where you are. Amen. Now, let's talk a little bit about the 16 things you need to do before you die. And I've got good news for you. You are going to die.
Amen.
Amen.
You are going to die. If Jesus tarries is coming, you are going to die. I don't understand how people get so caught up on death. You're going to die one day, someday. You're going to leave the planet. We'll have your funeral. We'll talk about you, say great things about you, but you're going to die at some point.
Amen.
True.
Amen. Amen. Tell everybody, don't cry over me. Just y'all dance around my casket. Glory to God. I'm in heaven rejoicing with the angels. Glory to God. Nothing there to be sad about, right? Nothing to be sad about. All right. 16 things you need to do before you die. Here they are. Number one, you need to do a physical items inventory. Go through the inside and the outside of your home and make a list of items that are worth $100 or more. What do you have? Those rare coins that you have in the safe at home, make sure there's an inventory of that. All the things that you have, your rustic cuffs for some of you ladies, Lord Jesus, make an inventory of that. We need an inventory of the things that you have, all right? You don't have to do it right away, but you can gradually maybe take some pictures, a video, write some things down. Take a physical items inventory, number one. Number two, follow with a non-physical inventory, items inventory, non-physical. This would include paperwork, title to your house, life insurance, policies, homeowners things, long-term care insurance. If you have a Roth account, how we can get a hold of that paperwork, the things that you've invested in, how we can get a hold of all of those. Very important, a safe deposit box with the key that can be found is a good idea in some of these cases. All right. We did the Chenoweth and Cohen Awards Banquet the other night, and one of the gentlemen at the awards came up and gave me a hug. I said, hey, man, called him by name, da 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 da. And he said, I have something to tell you. And I thought, oh Lord. And he got real close to me, right up to my ear, and he said, my wife wanted me to tell you that if anything should happen to you, I've been instructed to call to her. I've been instructed to call you. I just looked, I thought, oh, Lord have mercy. I mean, they don't go to our church. We all work at the same company. They know I'm a pastor. They've been to several funerals that I've done. She told her husband, if I drop dead, if anything happens to me, you call Pastor Billy Joe Watts.
Man.
I thought, well, I hope you leave me something in your will. Amen. For all of that responsibility that you're giving me. So a non-physical items inventory, very, very good. We need to be able to find your paperwork if something should happen to you, on and on and on. The hospitals talk about living wills now, and I'm a part of this young lady's living will. Should she die, she wants me to do the funeral, help her husband, help him get through it, blah, blah, blah. I just thought, okay, praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah. Number three, you need to assemble a credit cards and debts list, a list of your creditors and a list of debts that you might have or owe. Again, our goal is to work ourselves out of dealing with credit cards and living by credit. Come on, somebody give me an amen now. Amen. It would be a whole lot better to just keep saving that money, tossing money in, having a savings account. If you've got $20,000 in savings, you don't need to borrow credit from anybody at 18 to 21%.
That's right.
Amen.
All right. You are the credit company at that point with $20,000 sitting in the bank. That should be your goal, to be debt free, to not have to live by credit or credit cards. And again, when I say live by it, I mean that every single month you are sending in the minimum payments because you cannot use the credit card and pay the entire bill off at the end of the month. And that was the intention originally when the Sears or whoever the Sears Roebuck credit card came out. The goal was, if you were out and there was something you wanted to buy and you didn't have the cash on you, you whipped out the credit card, paid for it, went home and mailed the $300 in.
Amen.
The goal was not to run up a $10,000 bill and then try to pay $45 a month for the next 20.
Amen.
Everybody see it?
Yeah.
Everybody see it? So when I talk about living by credit cards, I'm talking about charging it all the way up to 10 grand and then making the minimum payment on it for the next 25 years. And so the government got real smart and they told all the credit card companies, all right, since you're doing all of this and you're charging all this interest, you need to include in the credit card statement how long it's going to take that individual to pay off that balance. So if you get a credit card in the mail and your statement comes, they also let you know you're going to be paying this at the minimum amount. You'll be doing this for the next 31 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So who wants to do that? No. So we don't want to live that way. Look at somebody and say, I don't want to live that way. So number three, 16 things you need to do before you die. Number three, make a list of what you owe. At least that way your family members can settle your account. If you are a parent and you have children that are underage, you should be thinking about I don't like to go here in any more than I wanted to go when I was leaving to go to the Philippines for 2 weeks. My first trip my first trip there, they told us, go home tonight and show your spouse where the life insurance papers are. Should you not make it? Come on, y'all. Hallelujah. Should you not make it back home? That was not comfortable at all for me. And what I'm about to say may not be comfortable for you or to you, but it's going to be good for you to hear it. And should anything happen to you, you need to be thinking about who is going to raise my kids. You need to think about that. Who would raise my kids? Would they raise themselves? 6-year-olds can't raise themselves. They need some guidance. Somebody needs to be there. So you need to think about these kinds of things. You need to put that in your mental thinking. If something happened to us, honey, what would we do? If something happened to me, baby, what would I do with these kids? What would I do with the kids? Who would raise our children? So these are things that you need to consider. Grandchildren, whatever your scenario or your situation might happen to be. Number four, make an organization and charitable membership list. Let us know all of the organizations that you are a part of. Write it down somewhere. I am a member of the Rock Church. Should anything happen to me, call, like the other lady the other night, Friday night, contact Billy Joe Watts, Pastor Billy Joe. Somebody needs to know those kinds of things about you. Put a little list together. Number five, send a copy of your assets list, the things that you wrote out, all of your assets, your savings, your life insurances, whatever. Send a copy of that list to the administrator of your estate. I've chosen somebody. If something happened, well, now I need to go back in my will. Oh, by the way, you need a will. Write it down. I need a will. You need a will. That's something that you need to jump on. But particularly if you have a lot of assets, because you don't want everybody fighting over your assets. You don't want if you don't have a will, then the state of Oklahoma is going to come in and they're going to tell your family exactly what they're going to do with everything that you've left behind. A will spells out your last will and testament. And then all the administrator does is to make sure everything is carried out according to what you wrote down. Okay, you need a will. Somebody said, but I don't have nothing. Then do a will and write, I have nothing on the will. But you need one. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. So your assets, if you have an administrator of your will, somebody, if something happened, you said, all right, if something happens to me, you will be the administrator of my estate. You will make sure that my will is carried out to the fullest. Okay, now my kids are now all of age, and so I don't necessarily need that administrator. I actually could use Billy Joe to be the administrator of my will and my things and our stuff or whatever the case might happen to be. But you'll need to think that process through. Number six, review. Everybody say review. You'll need to review your IRA, your individual retirement account, or your retirement accounts, whatever it is that you have. You need to review that material. Just like I need to review my will right now because I need to make some addendums and updates and all of that. It's time for me to make that where my will is concerned. So you need to review your stuff. Review your stuff. Look at it every now and again. Don't just let it sit there forever. Oh, number seven, update your life insurance and your annuities. Update your life insurances. Here's something to go along with updating life insurances and annuities, making sure that you have enough, making sure that you're not paying too much, whatever the case might be. Let's take Matt Riera as an example. He's 18 years old. He's a college student, yada, yada. He's working a job. Right now, Matt Riera could get a $500,000 in life insurance for about $15 a month. $500,000 of life insurance for about $15 a month right now. And some of these things, you have to have a job in order to get them. Parents can take them out on the kids, get what they call, I can't remember the word right off the top of my head right now. But again, he could get $500,000 in life insurance for about $15, maybe no more than $20 a month right now. So it's worth looking into. So update your material, update the things, the annuities, all of the things that you have. What I started to say was this: those of you that have a savings and a checking account, it might not be a bad idea to put the name of someone on your account who would be the individual that would handle your accounts if something should happen to you. One of my wife's aunts died and passed away, and they were trying to do her funeral about a year ago. And she had about $8,000 in a savings account. She had become a little bit paranoid and took her sister's name off of the account, took everybody's names off the account. There was no name on the account but her name. And when it came time to pay for her funeral, they could not access the money because nobody else's name was on the account. All right. So it might be a great idea. Write your son, write your daughter's names down if they can be trusted. So if something should happen to you, they can access the accounts, handle your business. Very important issue. All right. Number eight. Well, I just said it. Assign a TOD designation. TOD stands for transfer on death. If something happens to me, there is a TOD in place, the name of a person that my responsibility in that account would transfer to so that they could handle my business. My mother died and there was nobody's name on my mother's account, and so we could not access her account. she forgot to take my class. Glory to God. All right. So got to have a TOD, transfer on death, somebody that can handle those responsibilities for you. Number nine, you need to select a responsible estate administrator, somebody that can oversee your estate. You need to select someone that can handle these items for you should you pass away in the event of your death. I think it's important. Somebody responsible. Praise the Lord. And that's all I'm going to say, because I could get messy and get in your business right there. But I'm not. I'm not going to do that today. Praise the Lord. Number 10. I already said it. Create a will. Everybody over the age of 18 should have one. Create a will. I know attorneys that'll do a will for you, for write one for you for $500. I know attorneys that will write a will, help you with your will for $2,500. But you need a will. All right. Number 11, review and update your documents. Always review, because remember, things change, things happen. There are divorces, there are the deaths of loved ones. So in the event that things change, you may have to review and update your documents. Very, very important. Number 12, send copies of your will and your updated documents to your estate administrator, the person who is the, oh, what's the legal term? Help me out, somebody. Say it again.
Executor.
Say it again.
Executor.
The executor of your will. That's the word I wanted. They use, I wrote down administrator, but I like executor. The executor of your will is the person you need to send copies of things to, on and on and on. After you've made your updates and changes, you're not asking them to update or change anything. They're just going to carry out your will should something happen to you. Number 12. Number 13, you need to visit a financial planner. And everybody in here should have access to a good attorney. You need a good attorney that you can trust. Okay, visit a financial planner or an estate attorney. Somebody, an attorney that specializes in estate planning, who can sit down with you and help you with these kinds of things. The attorney and or the financial planner will know the taxation rules that apply to all of the things that I'm talking about and saying. And so you need to get professional input on these things, because those individuals can give you some great insights as far as the legalities of what I'm talking about. I'm not an attorney and I don't practice law. I don't never mind. Praise the Lord. Number 14, initiate important estate plan documents. You need to get this stuff taken care of. Now, I've been talking about living wills, estates, planning, will, list of documentations of what you own, materially and non-material things, like paperwork that you need to have, your marriage license, if you're married, that you need to set aside, becomes a very important document when it comes to the settling of your estate, or if your husband should die, and whatever the case might be. You need those things. So number 14 is that you need to go ahead, when this class is over, you need to initiate some of this stuff. Don't just finish becoming a millionaire God's way. Oh, it was so good. And then you do nothing with the material that you heard. You need to initiate this. If you don't do anything else but go ahead and review your documents, that is a step in the right direction. Can I get an amen there?
Amen.
All right. So you got to initiate. You have to do something that tells us that you've taken this course seriously and that you are working on getting yourself together. Somebody, well, I don't, Brother Watts, I don't have any retirement at all. Well, first thing to do is to find out if Federal Express, whether you have full-time hours, part-time hours, how much money can you set aside for retirement in the 401k plan or whatever the case might be. So ask your boss, ask your job, find out what's going on there. I like it when they just take it out, because it's money that you never see. You know your budget, you know how much you can afford for them to take out. If it's only $20 a month, then make it $20 a month. But by God, initiate something. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. Let me give you two more. Number 15, simplify your finances. simplify your finances. What we mean by that is that over the years, maybe you've changed jobs. Maybe you've done this. You've done that. Maybe you cashed in this. Maybe you cashed in that. Simplify your finances. Again, figure out what you have. Most jobs, if you worked a job for 10 years and you had a retirement account there, simplifying means this, making sure that the retirement company over, retirement account over here transfers to the next company. Right? So you want to keep your retirement going, keep your account going, simplify your finances. Keep it simple. Is that a book? Keep It Simple, Stupid. Is that a book? No. Huh? Oh, okay. It's just a saying. All right, then. Here's the last one. We're almost there. Number 16. If you have kids, take advantage of college funding accounts. There's a 529 plan that the government, the IRS, lets you and I invest in. It is for the purpose of saving money tax-free for my kids' college education. 529. Your tax preparer, your financial planner should have information about the college funding accounts that you can set up for your kids. These are for educational expenses. They're tax-free. If you have grandchildren, you may want to look at something like this for your grandchildren. If their mother or father is not saving, come on, give me an amen. Amen. Now let me throw this out, food for thought. Instead of giving their mama and daddy money to live every month and enabling them, it might not be a bad idea, instead of giving the money to the mama nem or the daddy nem, because I know a lot of parents that fund their sons and their daughters. So instead of giving the money to the sons and the daughters, create a 529 account and tell them, I'm not giving you another dollar. Every time you have a need, I'm going to put the money that I would give you, I'm going to put it in the 529 account for those babies, so that when they hit 18, they'll have some money to go to college. Can I get an amen? Any question? Let me take two quick questions before we get out of here. Anything that I've said? Is there something that you missed that you need? I know I went a little bit fast. I want to make sure that you get it. We have 2 minutes. Any questions before we get out of here? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Remember, I started out by saying again that your extra income could be the very income that you could set aside as part of your retirement account, your savings account. Instead of buying more, spending more. Or if you have an extra $200 a month coming in, all of a sudden you find yourself with extra income. What is to stop you from setting $50 of that always into an account? All right. Where there is a will, there is a way. You can do it, and it can be done. Let me end with this statement, and we'll pray and go. You don't have to leap all these things we're talking about, because your head's spinning like, oh, Pastor Billy Joe, I got a lot of work to do. You don't have to leap forward. You can creep forward. So in other words, the things that we're covering in here, you can do this a little at a time, but the real key is to initiate something and get it done. Yes, sir. Initiate something and get it done. You don't have to make great leaps. You can creep forward as long as you're still moving forward. Marvin, what were you going to ask? Yeah, you can. You don't
initiate, but I didn't give what to initiate.
Well, initiate. If you don't have a will, start this week. Call a lawyer and say, hey, I want to inquire about how much would you charge me to do my last will and testament for my husband and I. If you don't have retirement, then find out from a financial planner. Listen, I want to initiate a Roth individual retirement account. How much can I start it out with? $100. Oh, $100. Can I put $25 a month? Yeah. All right. Good. So now you've initiated something and you've created a plan. You know, I just told you 2 months from now, we don't have this individual retirement account for Pastor Teresa. But in 2 months, we'll initiate one for her and dump some money in that. So she'll have her own. And then every month there'll be a little bit out of our account. There'll be a little something every month from that account that will go into her individual retirement account. whatever the rules are. There's always, and you'll have to get the rule from the planner. You can put in up to about 6,000, 12,000. I don't know what the new rule. Do you know what it is?
I think it's $5,500.
$5,500 a year.
Changes between, they upped it some, then they stopped, but then there's married and single and all of that.
Right. There's married and single into your individual retirement account. There are caps on how much you can put in there. It's up to about $5,500 a year.
Or $6,500 maybe.
Or $6,500 if you're married. So you like get those rules. Initiate it. Just ask somebody the question. At least gathering some information so that you know what your goals are. You could start the account with $1,000. Maybe put $50 or $25 a month in there, whatever, but start with something, because people say, I don't have any money. Stop smoking no cigarettes. Put your cigarette money in there. Yes, ma'am.
Jobs prepaid legal.
Prepaid legal in their jobs?
Yeah, if they have that job, they do estate
things.
They did it about 10 years ago.
With prepaid?
I'm sorry.
With prepaid legal?
Yeah, prepaid legal, and they can set up your will. They can do, I mean, I did the ENR, everything through prepaid legal.
So prepaid legal on your job, some of the, you ask questions on the job. You won't know unless you ask. So ask somebody, initiate a question, as Ms. Carolyn was asking, find out what can we do and what can we not do. There's some of these kinds of things they are making available really at our real estate company, Chenoweth and Cohen. They will now, they started a program, they'll pull your taxes out for you. There are other things that they're willing to do for you. If you will ask them, they will probably create it and do it on your job. Even if they're not doing it, they may be able to recommend someone who can. My goal is to get you initiating some of this kind of stuff, planning and initiating and on and on and on. I think it's good. Father, we thank you for our time together. We love you and honor you. Thank you for the opportunity to become a millionaire your way by serving you, by humbly becoming the men and the women that you've created us to be. We walk by faith and not by sight. According to your word, we'll never be moved by what we see, but we will look from the place that we are standing in, and we will see the advancement that you have called us to, the increase that you've called us to. We love you, and we give thanks for it. In Jesus' name, let everybody say amen. Amen.